Whatever the Lord leads you to do, brother.
Well, let's bow our heads for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, and we just praise you, and we just ask you to come into this fellowship with us, Lord, and Lord, there's no word that we need except your word, and so I just pray you bring forth revelation to each one of us today, and just prepare our hearts for that revelation, and that we can walk in the fullness of life and the fullness of joy that is your presence, in Jesus' name. Amen. It is November 19th, 2017, and these next 2 weeks we'll be looking at Ruth opposed to the book of Judges, and there's a stark contrast that the Lord led me to see between the two books. Judges is actually quite a bit longer than the book of Ruth, but they're both just as powerful, and it's kind of like they have the old question, the good news or the bad news first. This is the good news first, is Ruth. The book of Ruth is the good news. A lot of people look at it and they size it down to be just a love story. And it is a love story, but it's a lot deeper than that. If we just wrote it off like that, we would do a great disservice to this wonderful account that is part of the line of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I think that the theme that we're really looking at is honor. As I heard Brother John just a minute ago speaking on, that if we lived in honor and we lived in righteousness, that so many things in our society would go away. They disappear. A lot of the problems, well, all of the problems that we have come from sin and from dishonoring the God that made us. So that's what we're going to look at in this book of Ruth. I wanted to start with just to kind of give us the understanding of what I'm saying. Proverbs 4 and 18 and 19, it says, "The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth brighter and brighter until the perfect day. But the wicked is darkness, and they know not what they stumble." You see that's the contrast between Ruth and between the book of Judges. Do you see that when people become wicked, they need judges. They need correction. They need to be shown that somebody has to shine that light on them. But to this week, we're going to talk about Ruth, and that's the path of the just. So, if you look at the first chapter, just to open it up, the very first verse says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there." Now, Ephratites were the people that lived around the place where Rachel was buried. So all of these things are very deep in the way that they bring a lot of... God brings a lot of things together in this one family. So here you have the tribes that lived around the area where Rachel was buried. And they moved into Moab. Now, Elimelech means "to whom God is king." So this is a man to whom God is king. And we see that was not just a name for him. I mean, we can all have a name and it can mean something. Doesn't necessarily mean who we are. But we see that through through the legacy that he left behind, that he really did live up to that name. You see that because we see that by the way that Ruth discerned the God of Israel through their life. And so in the very beginning, they went to Moab fleeing a famine in the land of Israel. And we know that that famine came because the people were sinning. They hadn't done what was right in the eyes of God. So the famine was upon the land. But mind you, that doesn't necessarily mean that this family was in sin. It means that they were suffering the sin along with their whole nation because of the sins of the nation. So what it caused them to do, as we see right in the beginning, verse 3 says, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband." So here this 10 years goes by that they're married, and now they have the two wives of the two sons, and Naomi, the mother, they're all left widows. So with this hard thing that they're faced with, three deaths in 10 years, it's very must be really difficult to, you know, to live in this place without anyone to look out for them, to take out, to provide for them. So it says she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So when we get into Judges, we'll see that though the nation would go astray, and then a judge would be rose up to bring them back into account for themselves, to take account for themselves and to repent of their sin and to come back to God, you see, and then God would bless them again. So that had come back around, and the famine was over. So now Naomi wanted to go back to Israel. But what she didn't count on, she wasn't counting on the two women to come with her, because she recognized that really it would be better for them to stay here where they already have family, they have roots, they have people that will take them in. She didn't know what she's going back to. She doesn't know if her land is that they left is still there. You know, what would happen, whether their family will have favor on them or not. She doesn't know anything. She's going back in faith in God. And so this is the testimony. This Naomi has been planting seeds of faith all these 10 years, and we're going to see that by the response. Skip down to verse 8. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you might find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them and lifted up their voice. They lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, "Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." And Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that may be your husbands?" So there was a tradition, or it was a law of sorts in the Levitical law that's named in Deuteronomy 25, that if one brother dies, then the next brother would take on that wife and raise up a son through that wife, and therefore to raise up keep the name of his brother. Do you see? So this is a reflection of God's care for his people, and how he wants to honor us as a people, that we should think more of our brother than of our own self. That, you see, it was supposed to teach the people to do that, you know. And this is part of the whole thing. Now, the key to this thing is that who was Moab, you know? Moab was a nation that was born out of doubt of God, because Lot left Sodom and Gomorrah. That's in the 19th chapter of Genesis, if you'd like to look it up. That's in the 19th chapter of Genesis. But the two daughters of Lot were afraid. They thought there were no more people in the world, and we have to have a baby with our father so we can keep the line going. They thought that there was no more people in the world. They just saw the city they lived in destroyed. And so I suppose there's a rightful amount of doubt in your head, but we know that Lot was righteous according to Peter. And so even though Lot was they got him drunk and they did these things, and that's how the nation was born. It was born out of this doubt and out of drunkenness and sin, really, that it was born out of. But here we see that God sent Naomi into this place, and Elimelech, namely, to... Now, they didn't know this at the time. They think they're escaping this famine, but it would seem that he sent that to restore, to bring Moab back into the place of who the God of Israel really is, the God of Abraham. Lot was Abraham's nephew. You see that God cares so much for his people that he wants everybody to be brought into the understanding of his goodness, of his truth. And that's what we see here is about to take place in this division, that as Naomi goes back, Naomi is telling her two daughters-in-law, look, there's no hope, there's nothing I can offer you, there's no natural thing that I can offer you, but Ruth has seen the faith. And that's why it comes to verse 14, and they lifted up their voice again and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. So Orpah kissed her goodbye, in other words. Orpah said, no, I'm going to go back to, like you say, I'm going back to my house. I'm going to try to make the best of my life from here on out. I'm going to live with my family that I know. But Ruth said, no, I'm going to stick with you, Naomi, no matter what, because I've seen the God that you serve work in your life, even in this time where Naomi's questioning. She's wondering, am I in sin? Have I? What have I done to that all these things are coming upon? Now, Naomi did not know that God was using all of these things to bring about something, but Naomi had the simple faith to, first of all, examine herself, and then to just walk in faith that if there is something I've done wrong, I can trust that God will bring it back to my attention and that He'll make it right. You see, that's the attitude that I want to get through in this class, is that in this time, is that God, He wants to make the things that we've done wrong, He wants to turn them around and turn them for our good and use them to show it, to do a good thing. And He brought Ruth out. In bringing Ruth out of Moab, now she's a symbol of faith to the rest of the Moabites. Even in as it goes on, she's that first seed that was planted in that land, that the God of Israel, that God that loved Jacob, that God of Abraham, He's still reaching out to Lot, even the descendants of Lot, and He's calling them to repent, calling them into the truth, you see. So this is what Ruth became, but even though she did not know this, but just in this simple response of, I'm going to cling to, yeah, I know that there's no hope for me where you're going in the natural. I know there's no hope that you're going to raise up a son to give me a new husband the way that they had done things then. So, but I'm going to go on faith. and follow Naomi. And that's what she did. If you look down at verse 16, it says, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." You see, that's the important part, that Ruth claimed to the love and faith in the God of the Bible, the God that Naomi served, the God that Naomi had been testifying to for the last 10 years. See, she had done something in that 10 years for this woman to say, you know what, I don't know what's going to come, but I'm going to come and help you regardless of what it is. I want to be with you because I believe that God will reward us in our faith. You see, and that's what we're called to. It's a reflection of the redemption of God's mercy. A lot of people say the Levitical law was harsh. They say the God of the Old Testament was harsh. But really, the God of, we know that the God of the Old Testament is the same God in the New Testament. He's God all the way through. And the redemption was written in that, even in that law, through these things. If you look at Deuteronomy 25, verse 5, it says, "If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take him to wife and perform the duty of the husband's brother unto her. It shall be that the firstborn which she bear shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel." And look at, that said, look at Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25. And we're going to see how that goes, continues, not just to the next brother, but also to what they call the kinsman redeemer. And that's what we're going to get to in this lesson. The 48th verse of Leviticus 25 says, "After that he is sold, he may be redeemed again, one of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him. Or if he be able, he may redeem himself." You see that Naomi understood this law, and she understood these things, but she did not, she couldn't give them any real hope of those things happening. You see, she didn't have anybody in mind, but they went back to Israel on faith that these things could happen. You see, knowing that these things could happen. So we see that here by his uncle, and so on. So we'll get back to the book of Ruth, the second chapter, and we're going to introduce Boaz, who apparently would be believed to be Elimelech's nephew through the studies that I found.
Can you say it again, brother, please?
That in Ruth chapter 2, Boaz, it would, the general belief is that it's, that would be Elimelech's nephew.
Okay.
To kind of give it some understanding. And he's introduced in chapter 2, verse 1. "Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." So here is Boaz introduced in the story. And we want to look at the characters of the people here. First of all, in Ruth had a character. The next verse it says, "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn." after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. So Ruth is calling on another principle that was written in the Levitical law. Another principle that also shows the mercy and love of God for the whole world. Not just for one certain people, but for the whole world. And for that, if you'll look at Leviticus 19. And do you have it, brother? Mm-hmm. Could you read verse 9 and 10?
Sure. Leviticus 19, 9 and 10. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God.
So for the poor and for the stranger, the stranger being the passer through that might be the Gentile according to them. So here's God's provision for anybody in the land that might be hungry. That He's telling His people, He's imparting to them, don't take everything from the land, but leave a little bit behind so somebody else that may happen to be in an emergency. Somebody like Naomi, that her husband died, then her sons died. This is hard, right? So here's a provision for them written in the Levitical law. This is evidence of God's mercy to them. And that's what Naomi is calling on. That's what Ruth is calling on, namely, because it's Ruth that said this to Naomi. So this tells me that she had some understanding of this law. She had some understanding of this thing. She's going to the field, and she's putting herself in God's hand that, I don't know that something good will happen, but maybe, perhaps, I'll find favor in the sight of the people. You see, she's going on faith, believing that God is who He says He is, and that's what we should do. That's what I want to exhort each one of us. You know, there's situations that we don't know that we're walking into, but we can, just like Ruth did, we can go and do what's right in the sight of people and pray that God will reward that, believing that God will reward that. We know that He will. And so He did, and He will for us as well. So here's the character of Ruth. This is a character of faith, of hard work. She's not afraid to go and do the work of gleaning this barley out of the fields. And so she's showing her character. And it says that she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. So there you have it. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then Boaz said Boaz unto his servant that was over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray unto you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. You see that she stopped to take a little rest in the house, but basically she's been there all day working. She's a hard worker. She's not afraid to work hard. And that's as Christians, that's what we should be. Not afraid of hard work. And so Boaz is taking notice of this. You know? He's taking notice of this. So, I think that there's something to be said of the making of a godly family in this. All of these situations is what we should learn, especially, you know, for you young people, how to find somebody that's going to bring about that godly family that you want, that godly family that's going to bring good things into your life for as long as you're on this planet. You know, we need each other. And so we see that Boaz is asking these questions. He's gathering up what to make of this, the character of Ruth, and he sees good things, you see. And we see that Boaz is a genuine person. There's genuine piety in him. He's not just somebody that puts on airs and puts on show, but he's real. He really has faith. He really loves God. So that's something we should look for. We should first strive to be in ourselves, obviously, but we should also look for in others, the people that we want to yoke up with in our life, the people that we're looking for in our life to be a part of our life, should be people that genuinely love God. We see that the people were favorable toward him, his servants. They weren't talking bad about him. They were treating him kindly. They were glad to see him. You know. So Boaz answered, verse 9 says, "Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto thy vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." So here's Boaz extending some grace upon Ruth, saying, "Stay in the field here, you'll be safe. We're looking out for you. We won't let anything happen to you. If you're thirsty, we got water for you." You know, he's making her comfortable. Even though she's a stranger in the land, he's not treating her any differently than he would treat anyone. But he's watching her. He wants to see, you know, more about... He's intrigued by her character, probably. He sees a woman that could have stayed home and like Orpah did and just let Naomi go back by herself, but she didn't. Why didn't she? He wants to know. So a little bit more about Ruth. So he's inviting her to work in this field. Don't go anywhere else, but you'll be safe here. I'm looking out for you. And verse 10 says, "Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath been fully showed unto me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given unto thee." Of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So, we see that Boaz, he believes in the testimony of God, that God won't let his people suffer anything needlessly or do without in any way that he can, you know. The 2 Chronicles 16:9 says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, seeking to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. That's a promise. That's 2 Chronicles 16:9. That's the first half of the verse. There's more to it, but that's what pertains to what we're talking about. And if you would look at Psalm 41:1. Psalm 41:1. A lot of these things were done before these Psalms were even written. But people knew this about God. You know, you could find these examples in the book of Job, and that's one of the earliest accounts of people talking about God. So, anyway, verse 1 says, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him into the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing, and thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, the Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee." You see that we always have an advocate with the Father. So this is what we know, that God, if we're in right standing with him, he's always looking to do what's right by us, for our sake, you know. So it's good to be on this side of things as opposed to the other side that we'll talk about next week. But this is the testimony of Boaz. He had a genuineness about him. He's looking at Ruth and he likes the character that he sees, you know. And that's what we ought to learn to look for with the people that we yoke up with, is a character of genuineness, of humility, you know. There's humility in Naomi. When she came back to town, she said, "No longer call me Naomi, but call me Mara. The Lord has dealt with me bitterly." So that's verse one in chapter 1, verse 20. But now, if you look ahead in chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, Blessed be of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." So, you know, by this meeting that we see of Boaz and Ruth, as Ruth is reporting this to Naomi, now Naomi she's happy now. She's starting to see, oh, it's not as bad as I thought. Wow, God, maybe God is still with me. God really wasn't dealing bitterly with her. But sometimes we got to go through hard stuff to get to the good stuff that God has for us. That's always the truth. You know, there's always going to be something that we go through in this life. And our first thought is going to be, have I sinned? I talked about Job. That was Job's thing, was, you know, I don't think I'm in sin. You know, show me what I've done wrong to deserve this. We know that Job was not in sin, but Job was being proven that he was upright and perfect, that he was doing the right thing. He was proven to Satan that no matter what you do to him, he's not going to curse the name of God. You see, Naomi didn't curse the name of God. She's just like Job. Even though she said, well, the Lord has dealt bitterly with me, she's wondering, did I do something wrong in this? I don't know if I sinned. But we don't see any sin accounted for. We don't see anywhere where it said that Naomi did this or did that. But we see that God brought her through all of these trials. Just the same, we're all going to face trials. And God is going to do some good things in our life. Even through, in the midst of those trials, we can still shine. Just like that, the path of the just shineth brighter and brighter. The more we consider Jesus, what he went through on the cross, You know, we can shine just as brightly, recognizing that if he said we're going to go through, these trials we go through, matter of fact, are good, because Peter said, after your flesh has suffered for a while, you cease from sin. You know, a lot of people say they can't help but sin. Maybe they haven't really looked at it rightly. And, you know, maybe they haven't allowed themselves to suffer. Maybe they're not, you know, their mind isn't in the right place, obviously, because the Bible tells us that we can cease from sin. It comes from this suffering. It comes, the suffering that comes, it purges us. It moves us through if we have the right heart attitude like Ruth had, like Naomi had, like Boaz had, that we really believe God is who He says He is. And no matter what I'm facing, I'm going to get through it. And God is going to shine me up. And He's cutting away the dross. And He's going to make me, I don't know what it will be that I'll appear, but when He appears, I'm going to look just like Him. That's powerful. And that's what I see here happening in Naomi. She just realized, wow, now you went out to work on faith, and now God brought, He repaid that faith in this meeting. And we're going to see that that gets even deeper as you go down. Look into chapter 3. When Naomi, she says in verse 1, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? See, now here's Naomi's prayer being answered. And Naomi, what she said in the first, she said, I don't know, I don't have a son, and by the time I would have a son, you would be too old to be restored by him. So she's still hoping that Ruth will be able to be restored. She's still hoping for it. It's being answered right here. And now, is not Boaz, verse 2, of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down, thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go and uncover his feet and lay down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she, Ruth, said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. So Boaz went and lied down, and here Ruth came and put herself at her feet, at the feet of Boaz. And a little further down, it talks about how Boaz woke up and saw the woman down there, and she asked, who are you? And she introduced herself. She's Ruth. And verse 10, starting verse 9, he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaiden. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. So she's referring to that kinsman redeemer that we talked about in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followed after not young men, whether poor or rich. You see, this was the character of Ruth. She went there and she was not, she wasn't flirting with everybody around. She was working hard and believing in God that He was going to send the right person for her, you see. And when God revealed that to her in Boaz, she went to Him. She hadn't went to a bunch of people. She went to the one that God sent her to, you see. And so He's saying that your latter will be better than your beginning, you see. And we know that she was dealt just like Naomi. They went through hard things in the beginning. She gleaned all that day. She worked all that one day for one epa of flour. And further on, here, Boaz gives her six epas of flour of barley. So there it is. She got six times as much as what she worked so hard for in that one day. So that's just a little glimpse of even the, you know, that it's the latter is better. That's what we have to reflect on when we're going through hard times, that it's going to, you know, what we sang about, we'll understand it by and by, that there's going to come a day when all of these things we're going through are going to make sense, and we're going to understand why we went through them, and we're going to see that it was for our good and not for our evil. If we are faithful to God, He'll bring that to pass. So, here is Boaz's response. And he sent Ruth back to Naomi with these six epas of flour, six measures of barley. And he said, "Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law." You see that here's another part of Boaz's character. Not only is he concerned about Ruth, he's concerned about Naomi. He wants to do what's right by her mother. He wants to make sure that she's not going empty-handed. That's, young men, that's the character that you need to show, you know. If you want someone to marry you one day, then you have to be concerned with that person, not only with that person, but with that person's family, you know, as a provider, how you can provide for them to not let them go empty-handed. So verse 18 says more about Boaz's character as a godly man. This is Naomi. Naomi said, then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Each day, men of God, we have a responsibility to the people that we're responsible to make sure that they're provided for, that all the business that can be dealt with is dealt with, redeeming the time, according to Paul. So, not being slothful in business. You know, this Boaz went that day, and that's what's going to bring us into the fourth chapter. He went to the, because he had, one part I forgot to get back to was, in their conversation that night, he let Ruth know that there is one closer than me. So, in other words, there's one that could get in the way of this, but I'm going to go and deal with that in the morning and find out if he'll redeem you, then let him do it. But if not, I'll do what you're asking. So, that's the business that we're talking about, is the Redeemer. And so he goes in the fourth chapter. He goes to the one that's nearer than him. And it says in the first verse, "Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, 'Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here.' And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, 'Sit ye down here.' And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, 'Naomi that is come again out of the country of Naomi of Moab, sell a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people if thou will redeem it. But if thou will not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee. And I am after thee.' And he said, 'I will redeem it.' Then said Boaz, 'What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance.' And the kinsman said, 'I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou thy right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. So, in other words, this man was willing to buy the field, but he wasn't willing to take on Ruth as a wife. So, he had to pass, it had to be both. It's all or nothing. So, he passed it on to Boaz. So, they went in good faith, knowing that they might not get what they wanted. You see? And that's, there's going to come a day, and there has come a day in all of our lives that we do that thing. This is a principle that I've seen over and over in my life, walking with God. The bottom line is, if God doesn't want me to have it, I don't want it. You know, this I got to imagine at this point, Ruth had worked out some feelings toward Boaz. She's hoping that Boaz will be the one that redeems her, but he might not be. You see? He's going to town to find out. I believe that Boaz seen good things in Ruth and was hoping the same thing, but also knowing that it might not be. We put things on the altar spiritually. We give it to God, and what He gives back to us, we know it's good. You see? Whatever it might be, if we want it more than we want God, we've got something off in our thinking. Because what God is going to give us is better than anything we can imagine. He's given us that promise. He said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered in the heart of man what God has for them that love Him. You see that the promise of God is greater than anything we can imagine in our life. And by in this act of faith, by going and doing things in order, when I was in Indianapolis last week, I listened to a testimony. The young people in the van that I was riding with, in the team that I was riding with, had wanted to do campus ministry, but they didn't get chosen to do the campus ministry. So they went about and they were faithful with what we were chosen to go do. But on the second day, it was given to us to go to IUPY and preach on the campus. So they said, wow, look, see, we were faithful with what God wanted us to do and sent us to do, and then God rewarded us by giving us what we wanted to have happen. You see, if delight yourself in Him, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Yeah, and the children in the van were rejoicing to God because they got what they wanted, even though they didn't look like they were going to get that at first, you see. And we're all going to face a moment where we're going to see that thing we want, and we're going to have to wonder if we'll get it or not. But we have to remember that God is greater than anything else. And that's what we see here. We believe in this precept of God that He loves us and He wants to draw us closer to Him. And that's what He's doing here in this book of Ruth. And that's what we see in this character. In these characters. So we know that Boaz and Ruth become married. They had a child. And look at the 12th verse. It says, let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. Now, Tamar was another character that was supposed to be redeemed, and she was redeemed, but she had to go about it a way that's not. That's a long story, but here she's even being redeemed. She's being restored through this story. You see that she had a child with Judah, and that was Perez, and that become the line that went down to Boaz. And we know that become with Ruth. Verse 14 says, and the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name be famous in Israel. Now, if you go down to the end here, and 21st verse, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And if you take that into the book of Luke, you'll see that the generations past to end up to be Jesus. So this is Jesus' great grandmother that we're talking about in Ruth. And so because of Ruth's faith, she gave a opportunity. As I said, she through Jesus gave an opportunity for Moab to be brought into the faith. But Ruth is the one that started that seed. You see that Ruth being one of her kindred, their kindred, they could see that they could do just like by her example, they could come to the same God that loved Ruth, loved them, you know, and loved them enough to give them. The same God that loved them loves you, loves us. So, amen. So, I want us to see that faith and honor, you see, faith without works is dead. There's honor. As we talked about earlier today, righteousness. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. You know, I believe that the character overriding in every character in this story is that they wanted to do what was right before God. Tamar, even, she did what she did was a questionable thing what she did. And you can find that in Genesis 38 if you would like to study that out. But in the end, Judah said of Tamar, she's more righteous than I am. Judah had to recognize that he did wrong in that situation too. And actually, Tamar was more righteous than I, according to in Genesis 38. But they're all being brought into this line that is redemption, that is reconciliation, that is the light of the world, Jesus. You see, that we can have faith that regardless of what... When I got saved, I really thought before I got saved that I had an experience with God, and because I didn't act right, that God was done with me. There's no hope for me. I really believe that. You know, I really believe that, you know, my chance had come and I didn't respond. So that was it. That's what the devil had me believing, you know. But when I realized, when this Bible became open and God's Word came real, and it become real in my heart and real in my mind, and God opened Himself up to me, then I realized how great His mercy is. And it's the same for any one of us, anyone out there. You know, we're here strengthening ourselves up among the brethren here, but we're strengthening ourselves up for a reason, so we can go out there and give this message of hope, this message of the goodness of God, the problems that we watch in the news. There's a solution for those problems. It's the gospel. Start believing Jesus. Start believing that He is who He says He is. Start believing that God is able to do the things that He says He's able to do. Start taking His word for more than just something that we talk about one day of the week, and start to implement it in our life and live it, you know. What I hope we're all doing right here. We're hopefully living this word, you know. This word, this library of God's word, it doesn't contradict itself from Genesis to Revelation. And if my life doesn't contradict itself with this word, then I'm able to shine the light of the word to the people outside there. They don't have any other hope except that. And that's the solution to all of these things. So, amen. Restoration through Christ. That was the last point that I wrote down here that I wanted to give. And that's it. Restoration to Christ. You know, restoring. Sadly, we have in Christianity a lot of people that believe that God puts on these glasses and He doesn't see my sin anymore and things like this, that hinders that restoration. I truly believe in the restoration of God, that He wants to lead us to be characters just like Boaz, just like Ruth, just like Naomi, that will live for God and live righteously among the people and bring that restoration into our circle of influence in this world. So that's,
amen. Okay, any questions or objections, please? Go ahead, Brian.
I would like to actually add something. What I liked about Ruth from the beginning to the end is her submission. And I just want to, the verse that popped in my mind when she clave on to Naomi was Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, amen, who have spoken unto you the word of God. That's what Naomi was doing, right?
Amen.
Whose faith followed. She was doing? She was following Naomi's faith.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or conduct, depending on which version you might read.
Amen.
Or translation. So I just thought that was a really key verse there, that she had submitted herself all throughout the four chapters of Ruth. You see her continually submitting to Naomi. Naomi tells her what to do, and Ruth does it. Simple order.
Amen.
So, just wanted to add that.
It's something I studied, but I didn't bring up. But that word clave is a two-part word, and it means either to draw closer, or it also can mean to chase away in battle. So, it's kind of like a sign of the gospel. Either the gospel draws you into it, or it drives you away. But it causes you to make a decision one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. So,
amen.
I have a question, brother. You were saying that Naomi went back to Israel, but the script says Judah.
Judah, yes.
Now, were the two kingdoms divided at that time? Israel and Judah were divided by this time?
In the days of Judges, they were
still one.
They were tribes living, you know, it didn't have a king, so it wasn't necessarily, they were living in the promised land that Joshua had laid out. Yes, she would have went back to Bethlehem in Judah, right, just like you say. But when I said Israel, I just meant Israel in general, the land of the promised land.
Gotcha. And you said also a law of sorts in Deuteronomy 24. I think you just meant that as a figure of speech, because it was the law. It wasn't a law of sorts. It was actually the law.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
But I was trying to get to the, we know that the former was a shadow of the things to come, right?
Yep.
So that was kind of what I was trying to impart.
And you really didn't touch on it much when Lot was, the daughters of Lot had gotten him drunk and had incestuous relations with him, and the result of that being the Moabites and the, what was the other group? There's another group.
The Ammonites.
Ammonites, right. So these two thorns in Israel's side, the Moabites and Ammonites, came from what was not God's will for Lot and his two daughters.
Right.
Because the two daughters thought in their own minds that, hey, this seems good to us. And as you rightly pointed out, well, I'm looking around, I don't see any other men, and Sodom and Gomorrah were just destroyed.
Right.
And so all that, I think it's five cities in those areas would have been destroyed by fire and brimstone.
Sure.
And they would have been witnessing that and fleeing from that destruction.
Right.
And so it's understandable why they would, in their carnality or in their natural mind, they would think that. But anyway.
But it's not an act of faith.
It's not an act of faith because they didn't seek God in it.
That's right.
And so that's, that exhortation to youth is wait for the one that God has appointed you.
There you go.
Not just grab at the first straw that presents itself.
There you go.
Because they end up being straw. So anyway,
and we will touch on that more next week. As I said, I kind of divided it two parts, and that's kind of what I wanted to get into in the next.
So there is a, you didn't just cover the whole thing. You
I just covered the, I, like I said at first, I was trying to cover the good side, that it, this is what happens if we do right by God.
Now you're going to contrast it,
and then
we're
going to contrast it with judges and see, like you said, that there are consequences of sin.
Amen. Yeah. That was good. Amen. Anybody else? All right. Praise the Lord.